So start the show. Why? Well, I can just leave.
Possible.
Why? Well, because I could do something productive, like masturbating.
I don't think anything
hard to do with y'all on the line.
Not impossible, though.
Oh.
Boost up for Buster.
Kettle.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
All right, where's my blue lipstick?
Hey, Mickey.
Look, peer pressure, drink now.
Paladin.
JD Mooning is super effective against everything.
Ken.
Thanks, boning everybody, for 500 of your U.S. dollar.
JD Church.
I need more friends.
And Fort Max.
Who are you again?
So, this is Superhero Time, your Bullshit of the Week podcast.
Yay.
There's more and more of those these days.
Yeah. They're just popping up all over the place. Right, Paladin?
What?
Never mind. So, I'm back this week.
Yay.
You know, funny true story, my computer was actually working perfectly fine well in time for me to be on the show last week, and I just didn't.
Okay.
I was at work, I can't say shit.
Oh, you weren't on last week, Ken?
Well, you say that like you dodged the show, but yes, you still had to listen to it and then edit it, so.
It was entertaining listening to it, actually. And I didn't really edit it either.
Yeah, I noticed.
I just cut it into the normal segments and posted it.
Wow.
Clearly.
Class act.
Yep. That's what happens with any show I'm not on. Because it's not like I can ask JD to edit. That never works.
Well, it didn't work. I wouldn't say it never works. It just didn't work.
Well, no, it never works. There has not been an occasion where it has worked.
Gotcha.
Fascinating.
So I think the most interesting thing that's come up in the last week was actually like night before last, where there was a 2-hour video camera shoot of the filming of a Die Ranger episode. Made by producers of Power Rangers.
Huh.
Which is weird.
Yeah. Not really.
No, really.
Oh, okay,
weird
now...
that we actually get to see it now.
Yeah, Fort Max, why do you...
footage like this would have been lost by now.
Yeah.
Fort Max, why do you think this isn't weird?
Well, the fact that it was something that was made isn't weird, considering that it was... that the reason the guy was in Japan... there at the filming was specifically so that he could get stuff recorded of how Toei was doing the action scenes.
Mm.
So that then Saban would have a cheap way to do it, since Toei was doing it for, well, pretty cheap. Always does it for trying for low budget, get stuff done quickly as possible.
And so that's how he got season 2 of Mighty Morphin.
Still, it's just impressive this footage has held up for 20 years and somebody remembered to put it online.
Remembered?
Well, it's not like they...
It was on their to-do list 20 years ago. Wait for YouTube to get invented.
I mean, they didn't...
I like this part
and
of the...
And pray the copyright trolls don't take it back down again.
I like this part of the Die Rangers repeatedly, like... they're doing the transformation pose and just kind of keep missing it.
I don't think it would have been as much trouble for them if they didn't have the extended part out of the one side.
Yeah.
That they had to make slip behind the other half.
Yeah.
That seems like
it's... do any more morphers like that?
And it was... you can tell Spot, they were watching it and like, we're not going to use those.
Until they did.
Until Turbo came.
Well, actually, Lost Galaxy used those morphers.
Well, eventually.
In Lost Galaxy, yes.
Not like 5 years.
What episode, Fort Max, which episode was that they were filming?
Like 21 or 22.
Yeah, so that would have been pretty early
like
in...
the first episode with the White Ranger from Power Rangers.
That would have been pretty early in 93.
Yeah, they just keep a Ranger in there.
Yeah, it's the first one that has the one tiger.
But that would have been filmed in
that monster.
That would have been filmed in like spring of 93.
Probably.
Yeah.
So that was before they even started airing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is from a point in time where they decided they were going to make Power Rangers, and they went over there to watch how Toei did it, so that they could emulate those techniques for when they started shooting their own stuff that summer. That's what's really interesting about it. We're watching the filming of Die Ranger that they're using as fact-finding to even start Power Rangers with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Back in the days when they actually gave a shit about producing.
While producing cheaply. You know, they got their tiny little bit of money probably to make the 40 episodes of Power Rangers, and it's like, okay, how do we make this work for this many episodes? Let's go to Japan!
Sure! It's cheap.
But yeah, it's 2 hours. I was kind of stunned by the length of it going in, but it actually turned really interesting as it progressed through. I mean,
you watched the whole thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was kind of interesting because of the comments they were making while videotaping. Like not understanding how they could all do everything in like one take at a time, and how all of the cast just kind of did their stuff without any real direction from the choreographer or the directors or anything else. They just, between shots, did everything all by themselves. It seemed to be a completely foreign concept to them how that worked.
Like the stunt guys and the actors both?
Yeah.
And that they were doing all the everything in the order it would be in the episode.
Yeah, that's...
It's also kind of weird.
You know, looking back at this now, it's really clear that they went into that not having the context of these people have been doing the same thing every year for a decade or more, and they're just used to it. This is a complete reflex to them now.
It was
15 years. Some of the crew were wearing 15th anniversary Super Sentai series jackets.
Right. But yeah, that's a good long time to have been doing that.
Yeah.
At that point.
So yeah, that was interesting. I will I'll probably not remember to put a link to that in the show notes, but
so it's good out luck. There. You can look for it.
Yeah,
like especially the stunt actors though, they've been doing it even longer than the actual actors. So
Shishi Ranger's stunt actor had been in that field for 19 years.
Yeah.
When Die Ranger was filmed, the other ones had been 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, so at that point, it's kind of like a thing. I was like, okay, we know what the characters are supposed to be doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting if you're into the behind-the-scenes stuff. It makes me wish that there was, like, a proper documentary of the early making of Power Rangers.
Yeah, with some of the stuff put into it.
This would be a great idea for a DVD exclusive on one of those box sets they keep putting out.
I mean, this is as close as we would ever get to that kind of documentary that I'd want to see, and I'm pretty satisfied having seen this.
And then, of course, there's the sad part, which is on all the overgrown motorcycles.
I'm surprised they don't just tear those down and redress them from year to year. So, with that out of the way, Paladin, news?
Am I allowed to speak again?
No.
As long as it doesn't involve trains, or tracks, or conducting, or express, or steam, or wheels.
Rails.
Yeah,
anything
rails.
Anything that could be misconstrued into having some sort of connection to a train.
Any word, thought, or concept that could be shoehorned into something related to railroading. But other than that, feel free.
All right, I'll take that under advisement. Well, the faithful Sengoku movie war opened in Japan this past weekend, and so now Toei's teasing their next project. The next Superhero Tyson-esque project, actually.
So this one's going to be Kamen Rider Wars.
Yes. Yeah.
Say versus Showa featuring Super Sentai.
Oh my god. Oh, Jesus. Well, the question is, will this be like the last movie war where Kamen Riders were in the title, but didn't they actually even feature into the story? Half of it?
Wizard was there.
Sorta.
Wizard's not a Kamen Rider. He's just a wizard.
Yeah, he's just a wizard.
And even that's a loose definition.
So what is Gavin going to be doing in it?
This is hopefully trying to kill Wizard.
Gavin will be the main character.
Convincing kids to jump into his arms again.
Wrong Gavin. Yeah, I want that to be a recurring theme for Gavin. He just shows up to try to kill Wizard for no reason.
I'm pretty like, sure for being Wizard is a perfectly good reason for killing Wizard.
It's not even a story element. Just in the background of shots, Wizard runs by and Gavin's chasing him with a sword.
But how kind of sad does this seem to, like, almost Super Sentai state where it's like, you have this big movie crossover, but it's actually just 15 riders versus 15 riders and kind of Super Sentai is there, I guess, maybe.
I think it's a symptom of the same problem where we don't get Super Sentai movies that are more than, you know, 30 minutes long.
Well, right. Besides the Versus movies, anyway.
Yeah, the Versus movies are a little different, though.
And they...
Because there's nothing else coming out, then.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious focus has always been on the writer side of Toku for Toei.
Yeah, lately. Past 15 years.
It does seem to sell more, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of been their main focus ever on pretty much any time that they've had a Rider Summer movie.
Yeah, I mean, but it is kind of a little sad, though, all the same, even understanding that.
Well, Kamen Rider is the older brother of the franchise, therefore it's earned more respect.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I only now just realized that it is 15 versus 15 looking at the thing.
Perfect. Yeah.
So there's that. That might also be, you know, an incentive towards that. So
that'll
also
be
maybe
next...
they're trying to think of new things they haven't done in these Versus movies yet.
Yeah.
That would be nice also.
Yeah, it certainly would.
Well, we've already done, you know, a big mix-up of everyone fighting, so let's just try Rider versus Rider.
How many actual Riders will show up?
You mean out of suit?
Yeah. Besides Gaim.
Five.
Gaim and maybe...
Who's still under contract?
I'm sure they can get Rider 1.
Maybe.
He's still in good shape. He's got a head full of black hair dye.
Shiwatanabe, since he's just, you know, living outside Toei.
Is it really a, like a head full, or is it like that spray-on hair stuff?
They revealed that, you know, the main villain this whole movie is just Giga Beetle.
Oh my god, yeah! the main villain is...
That would be an actual... Toei movie worth watching, so we already know that can't happen.
They should invent a Giga Beetle character to,
They reveal that the great leader was actually Giga Beetle.
There you go.
And supposedly, in addition to that, the supposed Kikaider revival is going to be next year.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Pushed it back now.
Yeah, just to go along with the Gavin one, you know.
Good luck, Toei. I mean, I would like to see it, you know, be successful, but Wrecker is not good at the moment.
Come on, ride that train.
Next year will be
train notice use not made by me.
No, it's just like talking about riding the train of like trying to get old stuff to come back, like whatever. Okay,
so
real well for Gavin.
Next year it'll be Space Sheriff versus Kikaider featuring stuff you actually care about.
Mm-hmm.
On the note of trains,
oh no!
Come out by the end of March, which means Tokyuger will be on the air.
Oh yes,
it'd be kind of nice to see Tokyo versus the Denliner.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, and it'd be a really wasted opportunity if there was no Denno Tokyuger interaction in that at all.
Yeah,
I'm kind of imagining the Denliner sliding into position on the trains. Like the Denliner is going to take the center position in the Megazord.
That'd be kind of awesome, actually. Even for as much as I don't like Tokyo.
No, the Denliner should form its own Megazord.
Oh,
I mean, it has enough cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
too bad they would never make a toy of it.
No.
But I am funny mentioning all the Imagine piloting them.
A Megazord cockpit full of Imogen.
Oh, God.
And Naomi's still in the back brewing coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And owner is just eating his rice.
Mm-hmm. No, owner is commanding it from the center using his giant fork and spoon thing.
It wouldn't even be a Megazord cockpit. They would just erect the cockpit in the dining car.
Yeah.
They moved the chairs around.
And owner would be up in the engine on the bicycle.
Oh, God. Yep.
Okay, guys, we got a solid concept here again. Let's see this happen.
So since this sounds so awesome, it will never happen.
That's right.
Yes.
You know what's really sad, too, that'll never happen? Figuarts owner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Figuarts, they don't really do so well with human faces.
Yeah. Half faces like Rider Man. Yeah, that's okay.
I say, what about Sailor Moon, but she's not technically human.
Right. No, what'll be really interesting is to see like the Riders team up with a like the comparable Sentai team. So kind of like what we're talking about is like with Denno and the Tokujers. So then you get like
and Time Ranger.
Yeah, Time Ranger. Yeah. You have to put Time Ranger in there too. And then what do you put? Mega Ranger and Forze together, and
Put Wizard and Ghost Ranger together.
Wizard and yep.
Yeah, because Kenta is Gintaro in 15 more years. So
well, yeah,
that's actually perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and imagine the jokes with the Kenta and Genta and oh, you're a teacher. Hey, I'm going to be a teacher, and yeah, it's there. It writes itself.
Well, it wrote itself once, then it did it again several years later.
And right. Then they threw it in the lava. So, other news?
Please.
Again, Wizard reference, not by me. Okay, back to the Lockseed rabbit hole. Bandai is releasing a set of premium, show-exclusive, and show-accurate Lockseeds.
Ooh.
Well, there's a surprise.
How are they different?
Well, first in the set is the unripened Lockseed that grows in the forest.
Can you eat it?
I wouldn't recommend trying, but maybe it will blend.
You would want to.
Yeah, that's what's really important. Do you have the overwhelming urge to eat it?
Well,
can I put it in some crepes?
You'd have to check with someone who doesn't have the driver.
But we right. Gotta catch them before they get turned into a monster.
Right.
They get murdered by Kamen Riders, but I guess...
So we're just gonna go ahead and go there. Okay.
But we'll get to that later, folks.
Right. We'll fill you in on that little fun fact. Boy, I wonder where their friend went.
Also...
I'm not wondering anymore.
Also, more wizard comparisons coming up.
Okay. Second in the set is the broken Lockseed after the slingshot attack in episode 2.
Huh. Okay.
Useless, but okay.
And yeah. Third is the watermelon Lockseed with the burned out color from episode 8.
Oh, also a vital Lockseed to have.
Yeah. Man, they're I guess it's doing well enough if they're doing all these obscure ones.
Yeah, they're going on all out. I don't remember them releasing broken Gaia memories for show accuracy before.
Shit.
God, how hard is that, though? It's just like...
Get a hammer! Oh, but no, if you're going to do that, though, you have to yell memory break before you hit it with the hammer.
Right.
Memory break. Whack!
All right. Add $10 to the label and ship it out. That's custom.
Did they make broken O's medals?
I believe
I don't
they
think
did.
They did those either.
No, well, yeah, those are broken O's medal, wasn't there?
Fort Max says yes. Paladin says no.
Fountain. They did that
knowledge.
Complete selection, but I don't think they ever sold them separately or anything.
We are founts of knowledge.
That was just the Ankh medal.
Did they ever do those? Yes. No. Yes. For sure. Probably not.
Except February, which has 28.
Find out for yourself, kids. If this show teaches you anything, is don't trust other people for information. look it up on your own. And if you don't care to look it up, then you didn't care that much to begin.
It didn't f***ing matter in the first place.
This sounds like a Die Ranger moral.
Basically, yes.
I somehow feel like Die Ranger morals and Superhero Time morals kind of intersect.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Hmm. Now, Ken, I want you to go down to the train station. Wait, right there.
So anyway.
Yes. All right, other stuff. The Legacy Dragon Zord and Dragon Dagger are now up for pre-order at ToysRUs.com.
Woo!
For $80 a piece.
Yep. All right.
Although I saw those pictures of the Legacy Dragon Dagger out of a box, and it looked pretty nice.
Could you kill someone with it?
If you hit them hard enough, I'm sure you could.
That's probably true of the Dragon Zord, too, though.
Hmm. I wonder which is heavier. Which delivers a greater blunt force trauma?
Yeah.
Like, if I get up on top of a building and drop one on someone's head...
It still doesn't beat the Legacy Morpher Brass Knuckles.
You know, I finally saw a Legacy Morpher in person yesterday.
Really?
Because I was at the Toys R Us of Hopeless Despair.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Wizard had a Toys R Us?
Yes, and it's located about 40 miles from me.
Oh. That makes so much sense.
Doesn't my God.
That's a long way.
Was it stuffed next to the Dragon Knight toys?
No, it was stuffed next to the Samurai toys.
Did they still have the Dragon Knight toys?
I looked. I didn't see any, but they might have been tucked in some corner I missed.
They probably just threw them underneath the shelves.
Probably.
Those bottom shelf flaps will lift up. You can hide stuff in them.
You know, I went to Toys R Us this weekend, and they were, like, open really early, like, 7 a.m., and I went, like, at 8. And, oh, my God, they look like Kmart. There was just, like, shit everywhere. Apparently, they decided they didn't need to, like, clean anything up the night before.
It looked like Kmart.
It was awful.
That's, like, the worst retail insult.
It looked like TJ Maxx exploded.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, man, I've seen TJ Maxx in better condition.
Oh,
it was
shit.
Bad. I couldn't find anything. Awful.
Ooh. You couldn't find anything because you were in a Toys R Us and there's nothing to find.
Well, I mean, there's that too. But, yeah. But no, it was...
Overpriced Generations, apparently.
God. I didn't even find any... I found nothing.
The Generations are $12.99 right now. That's actually not overpriced compared to, like, the $15 on Hasbro Toy Shop.
Whoa.
But, yeah, I went to Toys R Us looking to see if I could find any Super Mega Force stuff, and... No.
What were you looking for?
I just wanted to check some of it out.
Oh.
But there wasn't any.
Yeah, that's why I went to Toys R Us, as I was trying to find the add-on Zords and couldn't find
any. Have they been released yet?
I think they have. I thought they had.
Well, they've been for sale on, like, Toy Wiz, but have been in... Is it brick and mortar yet?
I don't know for sure. But... They should be soon. I hope. I want some.
But yes, that Toys R Us lived up to its reputation, you'll be pleased to know.
Ah, good. I'm trying to remember with Samurai. It was a while before the accessory Zords came out. Like a month or two?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But with Megaforce, they came out in the first palette display.
Right.
Which was a welcome change. I think Megaforce spoiled us a little bit that way. At
well,
least for, you know, those of you who want those things.
I think it's too early to call. I mean, it seems like pretty close. The first palette had some of the role play and stuff on it too. They did have a few swords, but I chose not to get that either.
The sword is good, except for the final sound effect.
Yeah, there's also the blue key, but I'm gonna wait. I'll get that eventually, I'm sure.
I want that poster on the side of that palette display.
It was gone. The palette was gone when I went. I think it was almost cleaned off that first weekend.
Wow.
They just tear everything down?
I guess they took it down and put it over with the regular Power Ranger stuff. Because, yeah, I mean, there's nothing. The only thing that's left from that palette was the swords.
So there were, they put the swords on pegs, and that's it. That's all that's left. Maybe one morpher, if that. I now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I even did see a morpher.
Good turnover rate.
At our, yeah, that one, yeah. Oh, man. When I went, I guess I went Saturday, I want to say. And when I went Saturday, there was about three or four Zords left, five or six swords, and maybe three or four morphers on the palette.
What about the figures?
There were some figures on pegs. There's some red and blue, or red and green, but that's all I saw. And those are on pegs as well. So they were off. They're, like I said, there's no display, so.
Okay, is it just me, or is it immensely pleasing to see Gokai Red's face just down the aisle? Like, it's comforting.
I'll let you know when I see it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's much better than seeing all that Ghost Sager bullshit.
It would be more comforting if we didn't know it was Troy.
Well.
Except all I can see is Marvelous.
Troy's
Well, you certainly don't see any tears.
Troy's not that bad.
I'm just interested for cheap Gokaiger stuff anyway, so I see it as Gokaiger stuff.
Yeah, I keep doing the whole fucking old school Transformers thing where I keep like calling shit by the Japanese and American name, and I start pissing myself off and really annoying. I'm like, okay, this is Gokai Super Mega Force. So what? Shut up, JD. I hate you.
Intro quote.
Oh,
that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Awesome. That's up there with I Need More Friends.
This has been that kind of weekend, guys.
And probably up there with multiple men.
Yeah, but that was on Twitter, so I couldn't use it as an intro quote.
You can now.
Yep.
Yep.
Waiting. Before Max knows then now.
Even better.
It really is, actually.
Don't worry, we'll always remember that it was Ken who was f***ing multiple men.
That's very unsafe behavior.
No, now if you use protection, it's fine.
Oh, but anyway, the Legacy Dragon Dagger.
Oh, yes! We did talk about that, didn't we?
Did you see the video of the sound clips?
No.
No.
I'm surprised you didn't, Paladin. It was linked from that place you work at.
That place?
That proves nothing.
That place you work at that I will now no longer mention since...
OCP?
OCP.
Stand down! Deactivate! No!
Let's see here. Okay, I'm putting it in the Skype window.
So what does it say?
It doesn't. Listen.
Nah,
watch.
That defeats the whole point, then.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to it. Well, okay, I'll listen to it. Hang on. Turn this back up.
That's how much again?
80 bucks.
So it's pretty much the same sound effects as the 1993 toy.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Is that good or bad?
It's a thing.
It's better than the Morpher did.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else it would do, just 80 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than the original toy, though.
It's all die-casty and chromey and stuff.
But 80 bucks.
Yeah.
Collectory and stuff.
80 bucks.
You can get the damaged version. I'll sell you the damaged version. How's that? For $100.
Yeah, sure.
It's custom. It's custom.
Now, when you say damage, you mean inserted anally, right?
Make no guarantees or promises without money first.
So while the rest of you were debating that, we just got a bunch of pictures of the first wave of Super Mega Force action figures.
Ooh, ooh.
Is this stuff we haven't seen before?
I don't think we've seen these before.
Ooh. Ooh.
Red and White Ranger again. Okay.
Are these the 5-inch scale again?
Who doesn't love up?
They're back to 5-inch for Super Mega Force, yes.
Yeah, there's no...
Gil looks bloated.
Yeah. He does look affordable, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Hey, Gorman!
The Gorman actually looks...
Now it's the X-Borg.
Dump troops.
Yeah, the dump troops actually look very nice.
I wonder if I could put like a metal plate or a magnet in the top of their head.
I want at least a handful of them.
All you have to do is go and get a neodymium magnet set.
And hey, if they're 5 inches, that means that they're at least closer to in scale with my figure arts.
Yeah, that would work.
You want a handful of 5 inches in your hand.
Yeah.
Ow.
Pretty much like any day of the week, really.
Regardless, it's close enough.
No, these would totally work with figure arts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aside from the lack of detail.
Well, yeah, but
they're just dump troops.
Things to be have the shit beat out of them, so I don't need.
Lucian,
I imagine Ken in the bathtub with his figure arts and these. And going,
no.
Pew pew.
If you're gonna imagine anybody in the bathtub with figure arts, it would have to be Giga Beetle. He's the only person insane enough to actually take figure arts into a bathtub.
No shit. Like, I spent too much damn money on those things.
Do anything with the figure arts.
Wasn't Bluefin going to bring over the Go-Katcher figure arts?
I'm sure they will.
That had been speculated for the Comic-Con exclusive last
nice
summer.
Yeah, nice box set of the whole team. They could probably do that.
It was just a rumor, though.
We already have
this year's figure arts exclusives sort of rumored, sort of
what
leaked.
Is that?
A set of Mighty Morphin Black with the shield and the shield was green.
Ew.
From that one episode of Voyager.
Yes.
That's dumb.
Well, you could find all six on Mandarake right now. They're probably pretty cheap.
Even the ladies?
Well, the thing is, though, also the
ones that aren't out yet?
The Samurai set came after Samurai, after Super Samurai even, so it's still possible they could still do it.
Mm-hmm. It's possible, I'm not ruling it out, but there is just, like, strong, strong hinting from the Bluefin representatives at New York Comic-Con.
Right. I mean, I would probably go for a metallic paint job like they did for the Samurai set for Go-Katchers.
I don't think that would look bad.
I don't think it would.
Especially if they would go
nicely with my metallic Ranger keys.
If they were smart and just limited the metallic paint to the colored parts of the suits.
Oh, yeah.
And left the black undersuit still matte finished.
Could they do metallic rubber skirts, though?
Oh, that's the problem.
Oh, you can put paint on anything.
Yeah, but what?
Except for unpaintable plastic.
Right.
That would just be the elbow joints and the knees.
Yeah.
The joint parts are always going to be unpaintable plastic because it stands up better, but
shoulders, knees, and toes.
Well, they did the Shinken yellow and pink skirts for the Samurai set, right?
No. They took the skirts off.
I'd expect nothing less, especially for that price.
What I'm saying is, aren't those similar plastics?
No. Completely different.
Okay.
I don't know.
Ham sandwichy.
I know you don't, JJ. I am well
aware. Why would I know?
I am well aware you do not.
Look out, JD's drunk again.
Oh, shit.
What do you mean again? When does he stop?
When does he start? I don't understand how this happens. Like
I'm telling you, one of the segments I picked up for the clip show next week, you sound totally like you're drunk off your ass or high or something.
But I'm not. Like, I never do that. I mean, if anything...
You have a superhero time.
We believe you.
Is JD high?
The answer
may surprise you.
No.
And that doesn't surprise you?
I mean, you had to be drunk or something. You were having a prolonged discussion about enemas, bidets, and...
Dude, are you kidding me?
That doesn't prove anything.
I talk about that stuff all the time.
No, you talk about poop. You don't talk about ways to clean poop.
Are you kidding?
Well, you don't hear, anyway.
If anybody would know.
Yeah.
What?
I have plenty of experience cleaning up poop.
Yeah, but you don't talk about that so much.
Sure I do.
There's some things you don't talk about in public.
This isn't public.
It's in public. It's superhero time.
There's a lot of things you don't talk about in public, and we're here to tell you what all of them are.
And we discuss it regularly. This isn't public.
So regular we eat fiber for it.
I do. Every day.
Superhero time is a little bit public, but Fanboy Versus isn't public at all.
No. Right now it's non-existent.
Are you going to cry?
No. You see these tears?
Oh, God.
I knew that was a setup for that, but the question by itself is... it's better without the context.
God.
I might in a second now.
Most of you guys can die in a fire.
So do we have any more news?
Did we talk about...
I don't think we can top any of this anyway.
Did we talk about the images of the DJ gun?
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Crap. I mean, yeah, let's go with that.
What do you mean, crap?
The existence of it was brought up
last week. I keep hoping we can move on.
To what?
What is
Gaim.
What is better? Well, this is still Gaim. What's better than this? It's a f***ing turntable gun.
Where
it
is
mixes
this?
Fresh beats.
Fresh beat downs.
Let's see here. Da-da-da-da.
It's a turntable gun that heard you like swords, so it puts swords on your swords.
Yes.
And that's the literal truth, too.
The power of the Kachidoki, Lockseed.
It sheathes over the sword for like another sword.
And it also turns into a sword by itself.
Yes.
So now Gaim can have three swords at once. He can be half of Date Masamune.
Or Zoro from One Piece.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow.
Sengoku Basara references are more relevant. Right?
Wow!
Well, no, they're not that funny.
He could be 3/5 of Joe.
Yeah. Oh. That one episode.
And that one figure art accessory.
Yes.
3/5 of Joe is like the greatest expression.
Man, your Lockseed goes here.
Oh man!
I don't want to know where he was pointing.
You know where he was pointing.
Where did he put the lock seed? Point to us in the doll.
Show us on the doll where he gave you the lock seed.
Show us on the doll where he gave you the seed.
Oh, no.
I love this show.
How many intro quotes can I make in one episode?
I can turn almost anything you say into an intro quote. I just don't.
No, it's I do that.
I have to balance it out so that you don't completely outpace everyone else.
I think he's already well done.
He only shines because we are so dull.
What?
Yeah, that's
it's
pretty
true,
much
really. I can't argue that.
JD is proof that you can polish a shit.
That's right.
Didn't they prove that in Mythbusters?
Yeah, they did actually.
Yeah, you can do it. But you have to, like...
But JD makes it science because we've repeated it.
Of shit, though. Not all shit is really polishable.
Science means that you can repeat the result, which, you know, JD does.
Right.
Yeah,
every Monday.
And formerly on Sundays.
I just keep showing up. Shiny turds.
But yeah, the DJ gun is appropriately wacky.
Great.
I do hope it comes from DJ Sagar somehow.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't it?
I still hope he's the main boss.
Because they like to screw with us that way.
I mean, as of the last few weeks, it's entirely possible.
Yeah, things have kind of... Wow.
Yet we're not allowed to talk about the good part of that.
Right. Yeah, well...
Okay, I haven't even watched episode 10 yet.
Okay, well...
The more reason
so that's
we should
why
talk
about doing it.
Yeah, so we should definitely do it then. Yeah.
I guess we're done with the news, so let's...
And Megaforce is done with, so we can't have that.
What's fruit?
I did watch that Christmas episode, which was... Wow.
Superhero Gaim.
Superhero Gaim!
Superhero Gaim. Take that back.
Well, at Telltale...
Wait, Paladin?
They made the joke first.
Well, don't repeat it. That just helps them. You're just encouraging them.
I don't think they need the encouragement by this point.
I mean, that is literally the superhero time bumper, so.
I'm sure it is.
From the first episode.
I have the sound clip to prove it.
Yes.
Did Paladin write it for them?
Probably.
No, but I was the mind behind Pulperize and Destroy.
God.
You couldn't be the mind behind Pulperize and Destroy because that's actually good.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Paladin only makes bad puns.
Right.
Right. So, anyway.
Gaim?
Ken?
Okay, so.
We're waiting for the verdict here.
Last we left our...
I was waiting to see if Paladin had forgotten his lessons and was going to say, like, anything.
For the most part, you said I'm not allowed to speak.
Right.
Shit. So, yeah. Last week, Baron broke out the mango arms, right? That's where we're at. Correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the fact that it's so serialized, I have to kind of remind myself sometimes.
Yeah.
We cut to a tunnel where a worker finds a bunch of fruits from Helheim having grown, and he finds them very, very appetizing and
so delicious.
Delicious.
And then we don't see him anymore.
Imagine that. So
I'm sure it doesn't mean anything.
Running off the thread that Mitchie had from last week, speculating that an invest might have gotten into their world, he looks up on Yagoogle. that there have been indeed some mysterious attacks, and they surmise that it is probably an invest.
An infestation.
Infestation.
So they go to.
I like that.
They go to talk to Kaito about it, and he's just like, dude's f***ed up.
He's still not over the thing that happened last time.
It was awesome. He was like,
never over anything.
It's awesome because he's like, help you. Let me think about that. No.
is it that dull being on top?
But
you gotta switch positions once in a while.
We want to help. But if I help you, then you'll get even better, which is not gonna happen.
And
so
he just tosses his cards on the ground again because.
Yeah.
Just because. Does one of his toadies just go behind him in between scenes and pick those things up? I wonder.
I'm sure.
Probably.
Oh, I love Kaito. It's too bad he's not in this episode very much.
Yeah.
He does enough.
Then there's some more wizard in the opening.
Yep.
And the Hall of Riders, apparently.
Okay.
More to the point, we have Ernie from the juice bar getting a...
Apparently he drives a matchbox truck.
Don't you know, everything's smaller in Japan.
Look at all this fruit. It's so supple.
His actual name is Bando or whatever. But he gets attacked by a fruit
To me,
bag.
He'll always be Goro from Ryuki.
Yes.
Because everybody here watched Ryuki enough to know that.
So for our first real monster of the day, we have the most fitting thing in the form of a fruit bat.
Yep.
It's not just a fruit bat, it's a fruit bat spider.
Yeah, and it's also a very common rider of them, too.
Yep.
Yeah, they do that every series they possibly can.
Yeah, it's just, usually it's a little earlier.
Right, but this is the start of the monsters arc of Gaim, there you go.
There it is. So, Kotha shows up and has one of the most awesome transformations where the bat actually tries to interrupt him, but he denies
it. Succeeds in interrupting him when he tries to say out his catchphrase.
Yeah.
Yeah, he tries 6 or 7 times to get his catchphrase out and is interrupted. It's almost like Fort Max was there.
Amazing.
That's a little meta, but it's good. And then he also has the best removal of his armor when he changes to strawberry arms by just shooting it right at the bat's head.
It's amazing.
This is a short fight, but it's really good.
Yeah, I like this.
So he eventually tries to use his finisher with the sword, but bat escape. Yes,
I love that finisher, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just swipe and kunais everywhere.
Yes! Strawberry charge. But bat escapes, and then he's kind of SOL. Back at home, Mitchie finds that the watermelon lock seed has indeed finally regained its color.
Convenient. I thought it was going to take weeks.
Yeah, I guess they got the CGI budget back.
I do have it to wonder if Gaim has a higher budget than other series with all the way they're throwing stuff around.
Well, we wondered that about Forza 2, and then look what happened to the Power Dizer.
Yeah. Oh, man, Power Dizer is so great, it's never here. Where? Power? Oh.
Not in the
Power Dizer. Look what happened to the horoscopes.
Yeah.
That's the real reason they never got off the M-Bus. Couldn't afford to use the suits again.
It's like, you know, Leo has this nice gimmick of being able to change into any of them and hardly ever uses it. Regardless, Mitchie's back at home, and he and Takatora have a discussion about the Beat Riders. And
I love this discussion. He's like, all right, you realize that they're just dirty, filthy scum, right? Like,
it's like, it
the term is street rats.
Just turns away.
Because apparently Takatora was a big fan of Aladdin.
He just turns away for the entire discussion and is like, they're not so bad, brother.
By the way, your friends that we're going to pretend like they're not your friends.
I can pretend like you're not an armored rider.
Right.
You were talking last week about how he seems to be oblivious to it. I'm starting to think he's not that oblivious to it.
He's not oblivious to it. But are you kidding? This was like Thanksgiving, right? This is like a family get together when everybody talks around something that nobody likes, but nobody's actually going to point out, you know? It's like you're the one that like brings the crazy girlfriend or something, and everybody's like, oh, you know, or whatever. They just talk around it and not
crazy
like
versus
just like Ford Max.
Crazy girlfriend time in general.
Right, you're failing grades, or you're the art, you know, major. You know.
And Mitchie is all of those and then some.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, so those people, they're totally awful, right? They're like totally beneath you.
Pieces of shit.
You should totally think that they're awful and not associate with them. Hint, hint.
So, anyway, next day, Gaim scours the city. Looking for the Invis, only to have Kotha scare the shit out of a person.
That's awesome!
and so for once, we can actually agree with Mai, where she goes, what the f*** are you doing?
It's like, well, I got scared. That was his excuse. I got scared.
Like, drags him off by his horn.
Yes.
I got nervous, so I transformed.
Well, and here again, like, we talk about how great it is to have, like, a common rider that's not just completely badass out of the box. Mm-hmm. You know, he literally, like, transforms because he's afraid of running into the monster.
Yes!
You know, as they're, like, looking for it, you know. He's brave enough to know they need to stop it, but, you know, it's like, well, I'm not gonna fight it untransformed. That's crazy.
So at the G-Spar, he, you know, also asked Bando about it. He was like, you know, dude, I don't know what that thing was. I was a little busy trying not to get eaten. I like how, like,
it's a fair point.
I feel in the foreground, there's this his employee who is just the entire time f***ing with her iPhone.
Yeah. That
she does not care.
Yeah, every time she is in a shot, she is on a break doing something. She's never been seen working.
And whenever you ask her to do something, she's like, I guess.
Or she just says, okay, and doesn't do it.
It's bad because, like, I know those employees. I supervise those employees.
You work with them.
Yes.
Everyone knows those employees.
Yeah, really.
So they surmise that it's looking for fruit, and what has fruit? Helheim has fruit.
Testicle. I mean, Helheim.
And
of course, there's also the point where they say, hey, maybe he didn't eat it because your fruit sucks.
Yeah, that's also true.
And that's counteracted when one customer apparently orgasms over the fruit she's eating.
So they have what she's having. At one point, they are like, well, how do we get the fruit without it transforming into a lock seed? So, Mitchie, proving that he is the smartest character on the show, besides maybe his brother.
He's the smartest person on Team Gaim.
Yeah, well, that's not hard.
Sit in the bag.
Yes, but he takes his driver on and lock seat off and hands him to Gaim and is like, here. Like, oh. So having the driver on transforms the lock seat.
Now, at the same time, they know by this point that the lock seat, that the fruit can turn into lock seat. Why don't they pick a bunch and get a bunch of useful lock seeds for themselves?
Well,
the
thing is, Baron has tried that and he got one useful one out of it.
Yeah.
They'd spend a lot of time hunting.
No, he got more than one. He just made the mistake of giving the others to Kurakage and Gridon.
You calling the acorn and pinecone lock seeds useful?
Yeah. They would be if they weren't being used by Tools.
Keep in mind, Gaim and Ryugen have those themselves. And
they're
so
like
does,
Class C.
So does yeah. And so does Baron. They haven't used them. They ain't using them.
No.
There's a reason for
they're
that.
They're like a step above Sunflower.
So anyway, back at the base, they tie it to a fishing line and hold it in and hang it up to track the bat invis. And Gaim while Ryugen hides in the bushes, Gaim hides in a trash can with a hole cut out of it for his horn.
It's awesome.
Cut a hole in the trash can for his horn.
So knowing Toei, this is going to show up again because they had to ruin a perfectly good trash can for that.
Yeah, that was like a whole 600 yen.
I know, right?
It's the best Oscar the Grouch cosplay.
So after many many mishaps where he nearly beheads an old woman,
is this the same old woman?
Yeah, it's the same one.
I'm gonna give this poor woman a heart attack.
That's amazing. I mean, this is doing comedy, right? You know,
yeah.
Where
it's, yeah.
Like, it's like a guy really just does strike this nice balance where it has its comedy, but it does have its serious undertones that, and the comedy does not undermine that at all.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Well, and especially for this episode, because you figure out something really f***ing dark here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The comedy is necessary. Because so you got the kids, the old lady, the crows, and Gaim getting nearly destroyed by the crows.
But apparently he murdered the shit out of them, though.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So
see, that's him make a pun.
Eventually...
I think they were the same crows from that episode of Wizard.
So...
It's too subtle, Mickey. Like, four people got that joke.
So, eventually the bat, Spider Invis, does show up. It, grabs the, fruit. Gaim fails to fight him, but Ryugen sneaks his phone onto it and uses Find My iPhone to track it.
It's amazing.
Which is, like, the most amazing logical thing.
Yeah.
It's like, everybody in the world could do this.
Like, right now, just the way that he is being portrayed, I'm looking forward to the later part of the series when most or all the writers are working together, and he actually does become, like, team strategist.
Or the main villain.
yeah, he is totally flipping sides for a while at some point in the show.
Yeah.
Or he dies. I haven't ruled that out either.
All of those are valid options, I think.
Yeah.
So they just the way they're building him up right now, they can do really awesome things with him in the later part of the series.
And it could be completely different awesome things.
And that's what
matters most right
there's
now.
There's a lot of potential in him, and they could do a lot of different things with him. He could be a really good hero, or he could be the most...
Oh, he could be a vindictive son of a bitch.
I know. He could be all of the above, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's great is this character started out so bland and boring and nothing.
And then
once you put him in a room with Sid.
Yeah, but like in the first couple episodes, he is literally a background character. He is there, and you recognize, like, oh, that's Ryugen. But he's not even talking. Okay. Right. But now he's like almost, at the moment, he is more the secondary writer than Baron, which is surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what I expected.
I imagine that's going to change, but it's still surprising how the focus has been laid out.
It has to change. It's the Warring States. It's nothing but change and side flipping and gaining and losing control.
Correct. So they finally find the Bat Spider Invis in the tunnels, and they have a really f***ing awesome fight with it.
Yeah.
What is that?
But not before the fight, they find the hard hat of the person who found the Loxie earlier.
Oh yeah, they find that hard hat.
Yeah, so basically, I think we have confirmed what I...
Actually, we know that the fast...
This pretty much confirms
totally
what we were saying at, like, episode one.
Yeah, we've confirmed what I figured was going on in the first place, where if you eat that fruit, you turn into an Invis.
No. Remember, we saw this very same Invis at the end of last week.
Yeah, I think there's some time jumping, because I think that was more like a stinger for this week, and then the first...
Or just bad editing.
That was just like set up the fact, oh, there's an Invis in the real world. I think the scene at the beginning of this week is supposed to be before that.
We don't know. It could be that that worker what became the Invis or totally got murdered by the Invis.
Here's how I'm looking at this, though. They are making a point in the episode to show that, okay, the Invis aren't interested in eating anything but the fruit from the forest. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, issues of necessary censorship aside, if the worker was murdered, there'd be more evidence of it than a hard hat.
Right, and if, and again, anytime people are attacked, it's only because like they have like fruit or something.
And and it's been twice now that they've shown, or three or four times actually, they've shown the overwhelming urge to eat the fruit, and then that same episode, a new monster shows up.
They eat the fruit. That kind of gives that whole scene with it dangling on the line, a sinister new subtext, doesn't it?
Kids are going by and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. But,
sure this confirms Yuya's dead.
Well, yeah. I think Yuya is going to be a little bit more complicated than that. Simply because,
maybe.
I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated than that because it seems almost too easy to be just, oh, he was the monster in the first episode.
Well, I think it's going to be a deal with when they figure that out.
Maybe.
Yeah, then it's going to be an issue.
I don't know. They could take a bite out of that. It seems like the low hanging fruit right now.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, so basically, the working theory right now is that Gaiman Ryugen just killed the dude.
Okay, so here's the wizard comparison I threw out earlier.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this.
So, in the space of the first 10 episodes of the series, the writers themselves have killed more people than died in Wizard.
The Phantom Wizard.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever become a Phantom in the course of Wizard at all?
Yes, one guy, and he was never seen again.
Yeah, all you did was see him start to turn into a Phantom, and then it cut.
And then you never saw anything of him again.
Or heard, or any kind of comment whatsoever.
It never happened.
So it's like it never happened.
So anyway, but the episode is not quite over yet, as some more Invis show up at the Helheim little garden there. And so does Zangetsu, who promptly murders the f*** out of them, but not before a containment team comes in and starts to blowtorch the f***ing place.
It's awesome.
For when you want to set something on fire, way over there.
So two things here. First, Coates is like, holy shit, it's the White Rider. We need to get the f*** out of here before he kills us. Second is, Mitchie sees the driver and the faceplate on the driver. And he realized...
Perfect. He's got the best eyesight of all people in Japan, because he saw that for a half a second from 15 feet away a week ago.
Well, he's got grape eyes.
Oh, it was... feet away a week ago, he saw it right up front, because he went into there to steal the watermelon Loxseed.
That's right. He was in the case.
Yes. Yeah. So
of course, the flashback they showed was from the distance.
Oh, they show both.
Well, they showed one where he was closer and taking
the water. They show both, actually. So, yeah. He knows it's Takatora. And he knows his brother is up to some shit.
And in come the flamethrowers.
Yeah, like I said, they blowtorch everything.
They came in. Flamethrowers are awesome.
So, after all that, Takatori has a little discussion with Sengoku. And this is where they talk about developing the new
prototypes.
Prototype, mm-hmm. i.e., the energy driver, right?
Right.
So he's like, who's going to first test her? And Takatori's like, I'll do it. And
he's like, yeah, right.
No!
and Sengoku's like, are you sure you want to do that? And he seems really amused about the entire process of that. And this will come into play with something in the next episode, but we're not discussing that.
That's right.
Regardless.
It does tie into some spoilers I've seen, too.
Mm-hmm. Takatori's like, you know, we hold the fate of the world in our hands, and they will secure a future for humanity, which is very ominous, and then the episode ends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like this show so much.
Yeah.
And next time, you know what? Don't even talk about it. Just go watch episode 10 right the now.
Yes.
I
will say, though, and you see a part of it in the preview, Takatori has the best transformation.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
Most of it is in the preview. But the way it is set up and the way he does it is the best f***ing thing.
His catchphrase is the most amazing.
Kind of awesome.
Yes. The creed by heaven or something like that.
Yeah.
He is so awesome, I didn't even realize he was a straight-up repaint of Gaim.
Yep. Yeah, I know. We noticed that last week.
That's why he has the same sword.
Right.
And why the armor folds the exact same way.
Right. Yep.
So, Gaim is to Wizard as Gokaiger is to Gosager.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it seems that way, isn't it? God.
It had been so long, I almost forgot what it was like to really, really enjoy and anticipate a writer series from week to week.
I did that pretty well with Forze. I think I fell off a little bit in the middle with the whole super focus on Ryusei. But
Forze, for me, got a little difficult in, like, the last quarter.
That was where I was most into it, I think.
Mm.
But Gaim, out of the gate, so far, I've seen this discussed on Wizard. I cannot remember a writer series where this much has happened in 9 episodes.
Oh, man.
And then 10 episodes as of now.
Yeah.
Even going back to Kuga took its time.
it did.
Kuga is very good for that fact, but it's like hammer. Like, I cannot point to episodes like, oh, that was filler.
Well, and for the show, really not like. I mean, yeah, there are mysteries, but it's not like as many. It's kind of interesting. I mean,
and it's not mysteries that you can tell. It's just like the show is just not telling us.
It's plot. Right.
They're actually interested in building their universe and the characters within it.
And there's things you can actually.
It seems like such a simple concept, but they're getting it so right.
And there's things like you can sit down and basically figure out, and it's not like it's necessarily obvious. It's just that the writing is solid enough that you just make logical conclusions.
Yeah.
Right.
So needless to say, they made a good choice getting this writer.
It's definitely worked out
really,
so far.
Really, really, really hope he doesn't f*** it up.
Hopefully not. I mean, that's always a possibility, especially when you have Bandai and Toei involved and producers and whatnot. But one thing I will say about Gaim also is that it is very, very good at balancing the character development with a plot and the toy commercial aspect.
Like, Gaim has some of the strongest toy sales right now, right?
It's on track to being the new record holder for Kamen Rider toy sales.
Yeah, so with that in mind, I don't think there's going to be any like major executive meddling.
Exactly.
Anytime soon.
I think it strikes me as akin to like with Double, and how well Double did. They just kind of let them do whatever it felt like, almost.
Or if not do whatever, they basically let them go from A to B. Start to end of the series without any major changes to what was planned.
Yeah, that's more what I mean. It's like they didn't step in the middle like with GoBusters and say, hey, you need to do this.
Or, God forbid, Hibiki.
Mm. Oh, I hope Inoue doesn't have to take over the
show. Hibiki wasn't all that good to begin with.
I like Hibiki.
See?
Of course, I stopped watching after 20 episodes, but...
Paladin, that was Mickey, not JD. His opinion is valid.
Of course, I did watch Vicky 10 episodes longer than I watched Kuga, so...
But, Yeah, Gaim is doing really well. And the next episode is so f***ing awesome.
I'm so happy with this show.
Yep.
And I'm still just really struck by how well the fruit thing is integrated into the show where it doesn't feel ridiculous.
No, it actually works towards the theme somehow. It's
There's only one reason that Kamen Rider Gaim disappoints me, and that's because I'll be spending money on it.
I caved.
I will eventually, but I've managed to hold out so far.
I'm going to end up at a convention because I'm going out to see some friends in Vegas in January. I'm really hoping to. I'm partly like, I hope they have a good toku sale booth, and then I'm partly like, I hope they don't.
Well, just remember, Ken, you don't have to buy a belt. You just need lock seeds.
Yeah. Because then if I buy the belt, then I have to get the energy driver too, and oh god.
Mm. Right, but you don't need the belt for the lock seeds to be useful.
No, I know. Just like if it's there, it's going to be tempting.
But you'll be in Vegas. We'll have hookers too.
Like if it's in my hands, I don't think I can turn it away.
The same thing can be said of hookers.
True.
So yeah, Gaim's a rabbit hole so massive even JD fell into it.
True.
Ouch.
JD can fall into a lot of holes. It's just a question of how far down in he goes.
Right.
Oh, JD didn't argue with you, though.
Well, none of us can resist the allure of the forbidden fruit.
JD doesn't really, like, argue about... JD acknowledges his status. I mean... It's like when I was talking to Gigabeetle on Twitter and we were talking about the JD lock seed and I said it would be a watermelon recolor.
Oh, man.
Brown, of course.
Well, yeah.
I suppose that means I get the durian seed recolor.
I guess we didn't really talk about you.
Is that racist?
All we talked about was the JD, Fort Max, and Headmaster Don lock seeds.
What does Don get?
I said nothing. Because Don chimed in asking if he could have one too, and I just said no.
Oh, well, okay.
But then later Gigabeetle said that a headmaster would just fall on him.
Not transform, just fall on him.
But I said the Fort Max arms would transform you into nothing having to do with what's going on. And it would have the power to interrupt other people's transformations. That part was Giga's idea.
Nice.
I shall have Basil arms. A giant Tony Basil head comes out of the sky.
That sounds really disturbing.
If only I still had Photoshop. Really disturbing.
No Photoshop anymore?
Well, it's there, but everything's monitored, so...
Oh...
Right down to where your mouse is at. That's a metaphor, too.
Sure it is. Fire!
Mr. Bucket!
That's right! I'm Mr. Bucket! I'm Mr. Bucket. Toss your balls in my top, I'm Mr. Bucket. Out of my mouth, I will pop, I'm Mr. Bucket. Walking around, I'm Mr. Bucket.
The game's Mr. Bucket. The first to get their balls into Mr. Bucket wins, but look out, because the balls will pop out of his mouth.
I'm Mr. Bucket. The balls pop out of my mouth. I'm Mr. Bucket. A ball is what I'm about. I'm Mr. Bucket. Whee! We're all going to run. I'm Mr. Bucket. Bucket's a fun.
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time.
So, for Power Playback, a year or two ago, we watched Kaku Ranger episode 45, the Christmas episode, where we learned that Santa loves to take advantage of children while their parents are asleep.
Kaku loses something now.
So, just recently, a proper translation's been finished of that, since Grown-Ups and Spandex has almost finished subbing Kaku Ranger. Whoever would have thought we would say those words? Of course... What we What we don't expect to ever hear is, hey, they finished subbing O-Ranger.
No, what we really don't expect to hear is, hey, I want to watch O-Ranger.
Which is probably why nobody's subbing it. So we went back to Kaku Ranger 45, because it's the week before our break and we have no creativity left. So, JD, why don't you talk about this episode for us?
Okay.
Stop this in the last 4 years.
Okay, so this little kid is trying to break into a house.
Because he loves to take advantage of them while their parents are asleep.
Yeah, and because he's totally going to touch this kid, this other kid. And it's like, shh, it's okay, I'm Chibi Santa. And, but he... So,
I'm feeling better about this episode already.
Yeah, so anyway, but he, like, screws it up because he, like, trips over something and wakes everybody up. And just like the Kaku Rangers, they're, of course, in the neighborhood because they're always driving around looking for danger.
They're ninjas.
And because they're ninjas, you know. So they run up and they're like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm, you know, Chibi Santa. And they're like, yeah, right, sure you are, kid. And he's like, no, really, I've got to deliver these presents. And they're like, but it's the 23rd. He's like, well, crap, I suck at everything.
Kind of like the Kaku Rangers.
So I fail at life. But anyway, here's a present, kid. So he gives the kid a present, and inside is an evil, deadly centipede, which promptly attacks the child, attaches itself to his arm, and knocks him unconscious.
Aren't all centipedes by definition evil and deadly?
Yes.
Probably. So anyway, the kid falls into a coma, and the Kaku Ranger's about ready to beat the shit out of Chibi Santa, who's like, no! And, yeah. But, no, there's centipedes in, like, everything, and so, they're badass.
I miss 90s Sentai, where violence against children was encouraged.
Yeah. Like, even the old man, like, grabs Chibi Santa and starts, like, beating the shit out of him. What'd you do to your child?! So anyway, so Chibi Santa goes running off towards his Santa-mobile thing, and then he gets headed off by this week's centipede-themed yokai, which I won't even try to say his name.
Centipede-themed football player yokai.
Just call him Legs, that's what's on his uniform.
Legs, there we go. So the Kaku Rangers show up, transform, and I love the, what's your name? I'm like a hard to pronounce name centipede yokai thing, and I can't tell you more because that's a secret. So, anyway, a little bit of a fight here, and he takes off with the van. So now Chibi Santa's like, we are now, because all of those presents have the centipede things in them. Kids aren't going to love Santa anymore. I can't get back and warn anybody. And they're like, okay, we'll help you out. And they're like, we're going to what? Like, yeah, we'll help the kid out because he's probably really Santa or little Santa or whatever the hell he is. So they take Nekomaru and they drive off to the land of Santas.
Fly.
Or, right. Drive off in the air.
It's it's important to note that they don't drive Cat Drugs McBus. They fly it.
Totally. With Ninja Man, like... flying on his Nimbus cloud behind them.
He wants his Christmas present.
Yeah, he totally wants the Christmas present thing that he's heard about. So, so they fly off to, like, the land, to the castle of Santas. And it's about what you expect. It's Santas full of love and joy, making toys and playing music and carrying around f***ing spears! What the hell? Guarding the place like it's a goddamn fortress.
A fortress of Christmas.
A fortress of Christmas. So the Kaku Rangers begin their ninja juddering steps into the place to break the in. And they get met by an entire platoon of Santas. I'm like, where's the love and joy?
Well, those are the security Santas.
Yeah, totally, man. And they mean business.
I will stab your eye out. So it's like they get busted and they're like, yeah, no, we're totally here because there's like centipedes and crazy shit and nobody loves Santa anymore.
This is the best part of the episode, this one line. A Santa tells the Kaku Rangers, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
According to Santa Claus.
By a platoon of Santas carrying spears in a Santa castle. They're like, yes, the centipede story is ridiculous. So, the awesome part of this, the Gokaijers managed to do a ninja Cocker trick
Rangers.
And change into Santas.
Cocker Rangers, not Gokaijers.
Hide themselves amongst the Santas. I'm sorry, Cocky Rangers. Holy crap.
I was about to say, that is really impressive if the Gokaijers pulled that off.
Hockey Rangers, Gokaijers, whatever. It's all the same in my head. Anyway,
Santa change,
totally. Anyway, so the Cocker Rangers go. Now here's the part that weirds me out. It's like you're already dressed as Santa. Why are you sneaking? Sneaking makes you look even more guilty. So they go wandering through the Santa castle and listen to music as they hide behind nothing, basically.
A Christmas Carol by J.D. Church.
There's not nearly enough poop in it for that.
Not a creature was pooping.
Not even a mouse.
No, they poop all the time.
That's how quiet it was.
J.D., can we get you to perform a Christmas Carol with poop?
Maybe.
Just slap it on the internet.
Be on camera for that so we can perform it with poop.
To hold up a book while I'm like pretend I'm
a tastefully placed book.
So they head off to the Santa Theater, which they're watching. What is it, Santa
Sentai Claus Ranger?
Claus Ranger.
Apparently, they're led by Pai Mei from Kill Bill.
But they get interrupted by the elder, who's like, "Hey, there's 5 unauthorized Santas here. Get your spears and f***ing kill them." Holy crap.
I love this episode.
So
I was wondering how the redoing an episode was going to go. This is going quite well. Go on.
So I've only watched it 5 times.
It's like Paul Giamatti.
So in the meantime, he's like, "All right, Santas, everybody get your presents and get the f*** out." And they're like, "It's a little early." "No, it's not. The weather's bad. Get your presents. Get the f*** out." So, in the meantime of trying to stop them, the Cocky Rangers get busted as Chibi Santas tried to stop all of the Santas from taking off with their bags. In which, in a brilliant move, he opens up one of the presents and lets one of the centipedes attack him to prove that what he's saying is true.
Well, it worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it worked. As he, like, convulses into a coma. So they go running up, and they're like, "Okay, we're going to figure this out." They go up, and they go to the elder Santa, who apparently has, like, some sort of force frost breath and like, Jedi move, where he can, like...
Hey, he's Santa. He can do that shit.
Apparently, because he, like, totally does some, like, Jedi master shit.
That's why he's the elder Santa.
Totally. Oh, and so they stab him with a throwing star and start to continue to beat the crap out of him until they figure out that it's
No. You missed one part, though. They tried to rip his face off, too.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. They're trying to rip his face off. They think he's the yokai. Well, it turns out, no, he's got one of the centipede things. He's being controlled.
So, the shuriken Santa in the heart.
Yeah,
try to tear his beard off.
Elder Santa dies after being attacked.
Try to tear the beard off the one guy on the show with an actual beard.
Yeah. So meanwhile, the yokai Santa tricks Ninja Man into taking him in Nekomaru back to civilization. Basically kills the ride, because Ninja Man's totally going to get the best present. Once Ninja Man gets back, and he doesn't realize it's the yokai, Nekomaru's like, "All right, everybody, get the f*** out."
Well, you're forgetting that then the Kaku Rangers chase him down on Tsubamaru.
Right, yeah, they fly back on the Falcon thing.
Which is kind of awesome because they're like, Ninja Man, you dumbass. You ran off and didn't follow the plan.
They should have borrowed one of the blazers with the reindeer antlers on it.
So, meanwhile, they blow up all the presents. Ninja Man gets really pissed and then realizes they actually f***ed up and has to apologize. So they begin to fight the yokai, who has, like, back missiles, and I think earlier we saw it, too, has his own, like, f***ing centipede ball, which they actually kick back and blow him up with, and then hit him with their own Kaku ball, Kaku Ranger ball, which is totally awesome. I love the thing.
And is Ninja Man groping the White Ranger as he apologizes?
I think so. So he gets bigger to fight, they pull out their Megazords.
You know, I really miss that finisher where they shoot motorcycles at the monsters.
Yeah. Ninja Man fights. He gets pissed, turns into Samurai Man. And, they blow him the f*** up. Merry Christmas. As it's snowing. It's like someone watched this.
That's not snow, that's his ashes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so all the kids were centipede possessed. Like, turn back, and they're all happy now. So, somehow they saved Christmas in here by getting the right presents out. I don't know how they managed to
do that.
They're
the Kaku Rangers. They can do that shit.
It's a Christmas miracle.
And somehow Elder Santa's back alive after being killed, but...
Yeah, he can do that.
Right. So then the
Kaku If you Rangers... strike Elder Santa down, he'll rise again more powerful than you can imagine.
Yeah, totally, because he is a Jedi, apparently.
Yeah. Strike Elder Santa sounds like some type of Gundam.
And then it snows in Japan.
Strike Elder Santa!
Well, that sounds like it would fit in with Build Fighters.
Yeah, that would fit in Build Fighters pretty well, actually.
Anyway, somehow everybody gets their presents, and they're all f***ing happy and shit.
Best Christmas episode ever.
It's pretty amazing.
All it needed was a Kaku Ranger dressing as a kid's dead mother. Or yeah, Ninja Man dressing as a kid's dead mother.
Great lines with it being translated properly. It's still pretty f***ing bizarre.
Yeah,
that's Kaku Ranger for you.
This is only slightly less bizarre.
Like 5% less.
But like watching the scene where it used to be Santa takes advantage of kids while their parents are asleep. Seeing it the way it actually got translated, I'm kind of wondering where that even came from.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was Chibi, but okay.
No, I think he means like, how do they come up with that translation?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing there in the proper translation that seems anything close to that.
No.
And it's not like there was a whole lot in the rest of it that was distinctly different. You know. That's just a really odd, specific thing to mistranslate.
You know, I just realized that it's snowing during the Megazord battle.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what I... Okay.
I wasn't listening to you.
No, you said it snowed afterwards, and you're still right about that.
I mean, it snowed during the battle.
Yeah. And the snow afterwards was the ashes.
So yeah, more snow. Lottie f***ing da.
What's the matter,
I wish we had some snow.
And then
I'll send you a truckload then.
Yeah.
Well, Mickey, I don't know about snow, but I could have sent you, piles of ice on the power lines a week or so ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I had to wear a light jacket today. It was mildly irritating.
I know, it was a lot warmer today.
No, f*** you.
I think it got up to almost 60 here today.
Oh, God. Actually, it was like 67, almost 70 here.
Not even that close here.
It was 8 when I left this morning.
Really, no wonder all you people are so f***ing bitter.
Wouldn't you be?
Yes, man.
If I lived in Detroit, yeah.
The hate burns inside them and keeps them warm.
Like a trash can.
No, we burn the homeless people for that.
God.
Deep inside, Paladin is a trash can burning full of hate.
And dead raccoons.
Why raccoons?
I figure you have this in Michigan.
We do, but still, why raccoons?
Well, because they forage around inside trash cans, and when your hate catches on fire, they combust along with it and die.
I enjoy how much thought you put into that.
Shockingly makes sense.
I didn't make this up. This is fact.
So what should we do for New Year's?
We're
back before that, aren't we?
No. No, next week is the 23rd. We're doing our clip show. And then after that, 30th will be our New Year's show. And after that's the 4th anniversary.
Oh, God.
Not sure if I'll be here for the next two shows.
I might be gone on the New Year's show.
Why?
I was supposed to go visit Ben's mom.
And I'm going on vacation on the 2nd.
The 2nd.
Oh, show's canceled.
Let's see.
The 2nd, which means I will probably have to work the 30th.
No, just get out of it.
Yeah. Not gonna probably happen, unfortunately. And with my luck, I will be closing. So. Yeah.
And there'll be no show on the 19th.
There could be a show on the 19th. It's just that I won't be there, you won't be there. Ken may or may not be there.
Yes, I have to see how much I've pissed off my job first.
There's more jobs out there.
Isn't the 19th a Sunday?
Okay, 20th. Yeah, or we 20th. Could say the week of the 19th, whatever. Point is,
I volunteer to run again, but I suspect I've been banned from that.
I don't care what the hell you do if I'm not here. That is not my problem.
Fort Max will run the show.
Damn. Okay.
God. I can't be here that week.
That's okay. Fort Max can record.
I'm feeling sick a month from now.
What week? Whatever it is that Fort Max... Whatever week it is that Fort Max is hosting, I can't.
We're going to let Fort Max drive the saucer section straight into the planet.
Just kind of purposely dodged around that one, didn't you?
So, Mickey, are you picturing Fort Max wearing the V-neck jumpsuit thing now?
No, it's the long flowing aqua dress.
Oh, that's actually kind of classy.
Yeah.
With
his hair's teased up real big still, though.
Oh, okay. Fort Max is awkwardly quiet.
He's detecting our feelings.
And it is scary.
But do you sense any distrust in us?
Mostly hate.
I think you're getting a strong reading on Paladin.
Yeah, he's overpowering the rest of us.
He's made of hate.
It used to be me that was made of hate. I wonder what happened.
Now you're full of sausage.
Oh. But I don't even really like sausage.
But you like dicks.
No, I am dicks.
Same thing.
Yeah, well, you're full of them.
I guess if Paladin can be full of burning garbage cans.
I'd be careful with, telling lots of people that you're full of dicks. Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Once again, it's very unsafe behavior.
I mean, it could send the wrong message, depending. Or it could send the right one. I mean, it just depends on what message you want to send.
Right. Generally, that I'm an asshole.
That's horrible.
Yeah, so it kind of works together, doesn't it?
Like two peas in a pod.
Or three or four.
Apparently a lot.
So what are we doing for New Year's?
Yeah, we kind of lost our train of thought there, didn't we?
Oh, no, sir. No.
It'll f*** you. Giga Beetle thinks it's funny.
He's Swedish.
He's being polite.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's Swedish. Swedish people don't know how to be polite. Paladin, I'm sure the French find you hilarious, too.
And grandmothers.
Paladin is our Jerry Lewis.
Ow.
Is that the musician?
I actually got a reaction.
Burning garbage cans and raccoons doesn't offend me, but that does.
A reaction out of him. I'm impressed.
Jerry Lewis, is that the musician?
Have you considered doing like a special with Red Skelton?
Oh my god. F***ing Clem Cadiddlehopper and shit. No one got that, alright?
I did.
Don's not even old enough to get that.
Don is not even old enough to get that joke.
I bet he does.
He's lame enough to get it. He probably likes Red Skelton.
Probably.
If I can get that joke, Don can get that joke.
It's possible that Don could get that joke. I don't know. Aren't any schoolgirls in it or anything.
We should ask Don what it was like to watch the Andy Griffith Show when it originally aired.
Oh my god. Whistle a few bars.
Wow. Hey, Don, what was it like to live when the Three Stooges were still alive?
What were the 70s like? I love Don for this, and I'm sorry, Don, but it's like my favorite part of doing RFC last week was when he tried to explain that, like, much like a song from Frost is now, The Touch was a song for the children of the 80s.
What?
Yes.
What? I didn't understand the first part of that sentence.
Me either.
Yeah, there's this new movie, Frozen, I guess, is what it is. That's what it is. There's a new, like, animated movie, and he was trying to say how animated movies have songs that come from them and then, like, become really popular. And he was saying that, you know, these songs that are coming out that are popular now are not unlike The Touch for the children of the 80s that liked, you know, the song The Touch from Transformers and became, like, the song of a generation.
All 12 people that saw the movie in theaters?
Yeah. And stayed long enough to hear that.
Right. Well,
no, there is always season 5 of the cartoon.
Yeah, sure.
The same generation that made Tommy Kennedy being at BotCon a thing.
I hate Transformers sometimes.
Don't hate the Transformers, hate the fans.
Oh, yep. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, yes, yes.
I do. I mean, come on, you really can't not hate fans.
No.
Not just of Transformers, just fans in general.
Yeah, you've seen Toku fans.
I've seen Toku fans. I've seen Gundam fans.
Oh, God, Gundam fans.
Mm.
Hot Wheels collectors.
Those aren't really fans, though.
Those aren't even human.
No.
Those aren't fans. Those are goblins.
That's a dirty word, son.
No, there should be a Sentai series where they fight Hot Wheels collectors. Is like
Saruman raised them from the pits to collect treasure hunts.
Power Rangers sequel.
Totally.
Fight something truly evil.
Hot Wheels.
What the f*** are we doing next time?
Not having a show.
That's next week, but the week after that we were going to do something.
Oh.
Well, I have no idea what.
I made a suggestion several weeks ago, so I'm good. I've.
What was that?
Decade.
Let's do world something Blade? For Blade.
No.
Decade in the world of Blade.
Didn't we do that already?
No. For some reason we picked the world of Ryuki instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we?
I think for some reason was because everyone being Zolda.
Except without being as awesome as Zolda.
Right.
Because Zolda's pretty awesome. Yeah, I guess we could do Decade. Optionally in the world of Blade.
Do you have a better choice for Decade?
Not really. There's so few good parts of Decade. You know. Basically just those early episodes where the writer worlds actually were reimagined.
Huh.
Instead of just being those worlds with different actors.
Huh.
And sometimes not even different actors. Sometimes just the same actors playing different versions of the same characters.
Or just Momotaros.
So basically, Decade's like Gokaiser, but they forgot to study before the big exam. And so they tried to like write notes on their arms in ink, and they started to sweat. It all got blurred.
Decade's Gokaiger without Guy to tell them what actually happened.
Unreliable narrator.
Yeah, I think if Decade had a Gokai Silver, it would have been a better show.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least then it wouldn't have had Kuga, and it would have been a better show.
Thanks, that we just got Kuga. I won't say Kuga, I'll just say useless. Because Go dies.
Yes.
Decade Kuga.
Decade Kuga. Useless Onodera.
And it's just like, they wanted to get Godai's actor back to do the part. And I can't imagine what that would have turned into.
Hopefully it would have been something different than what they got did.
See, my theory is that when they couldn't get Godai's actor, they're like, you know what, well, f*** you, we're just going to ruin your character. We'll make him the most useless piece of shit ever. We're going to ruin your legacy.
Happened.
I'm kind of wondering, too, if the idea at that point when they were trying to recast him was for Decade to actually go to the actual continuities of the old series. Mm-hmm. And then after they could not get Godai's actor back, then it's like, okay, let's make them be alternate.
They already had Wataru.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the first episode. Yeah.
Big f***ing advantage there.
Yeah, well.
But for the concept, it was.
Yeah, vaguely.
And he ends up showing up in two episodes in the movie, so that could have filled in the Kiva arc.
Yeah.
But by the time they realize, oh, well, we can't get Godai back, so we can't get other people back, but we gotta do Kuga, let's just do alternate realities.
It kind of makes sense when you stop and think about it.
It does.
It makes more sense than the show happening the way it happened, but with Joe Odagiri playing Kuga.
Which would have been even worse, I think.
It would have been very sad.
It would have been ridiculously sad.
I mean, can you just imagine the fan rage at that? Because even then, with Kuga not even having been properly translated, everybody loved Kuga.
Mm-hmm. And just that he was such a useless piece of shit. who forgot for half the episodes that, oh, I can transform.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, about that. Then when he does, he gets a knife up his ass.
And there's also, you know, the Agito arc, where they could have very easily had, you know, Agito and Kuga fighting together.
Awesome, because that was something that never really happened properly up at that point.
Right, but instead, he just stays in the G3 suit.
Which, yeah.
Sense.
Idiot.
Because again, he forgets he can transform.
He runs into situations and monsters and shit where Tsukasa will transform and fight, but he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
But does the character actually go through a moment where he actually says, oh, I forgot I could do this? Or is it he just doesn't do it?
It's okay. Just the point where he would what's the only possible reason that he wouldn't transform?
Because he's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
He's an idiot and forgot that he could.
Yeah.
You're surprised when you hit the Shinkenger crossover, of course, then you remember it's somebody else writing it. Actually, now that I think about it, he transforms in both of Kobayashi's arcs, both the Deno and the Shinkenger arcs. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Probably not.
No. And he's actually useful in the Shinkenger arc.
Which makes almost no sense just on its own.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Of course, in the Deno one, he spends most of the episode not even being him.
Yeah.
Which actually improves things quite a bit.
It does. Because
And, you know, then he gets the sword shoved up his ass, and I can't really complain about that either, ultimately.
No. But again, at least Kobayashi remembered, oh, wait, he's the Kamen Rider.
Yeah. Yeah, Decade will be fun to talk about.
Novel concept, that. Well, that's my bit of Decade out of the way, since I won't be here.
That works.
You can splice that one back in, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Not just going to be left at the end of the show or anything.
Oh, no, of course not.
We're professionals.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, God, I knew that.
Good one. So, anything else for this week?
Immense regret.
Besides the usual.
Nothing else.
Powerful gas.
Why, what did you eat?
Beans.
Really?
No, not really.
Oh.
Okay.
So do you actually have powerful gas, or?
No.
Oh. Now I'm all, like,
I was just trying to be well-liked and popular.
I'm all disillusioned now.
Well, sorry we had to blow the whistle on that for you.
Goddamn paladin.
It's okay. He's just giving me lots of material for Ruin the Joke for Everybody bumpers. I got five of those from the last episode alone. Mm-hmm. I could have got more, except the sound clip. I could have got more, but the sound clips were not all clear. Sometimes you guys jump the gun at, you know, yelling at him for doing it. Or, you know, jump the rails if you want to.
Oh, God.
Stay along
it's
the theme.
It's not irritating
here.
When XV does it, though.
It would be if I continued doing it continuously. So I think that will be our show for this week. Next week we have our year-end clip show with mostly or all unheard segments. Because I can't remember if I actually ran any of those in the shows and then saved them anyway.
Let's see if anyone notices.
They won't. I don't think this time we're going to have accurate predictions of upcoming BotCon exclusives, though, like we apparently did last year.
We did that?
Apparently so. Somebody on Twitter was asking for last year's clip show, because iTunes does not go back that far, and then mentioned that we predicted some of the BotCon toys, and it turns out we did. We predicted that Sandstorm would be Skyhammer and one other that I don't remember now. Oh, that there would be Machine Wars Starscream from Teradive.
Huh.
Which
we did that.
We guessed that because it would be the worst possible choice. So apparently I'm psychic.
Psychotic?
Same thing, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2013.
That said, you mind if I bring a couple small painting projects with me when I come there?
No.
They all involve gold paint. And
they'll involve yellow or gold or pink. The worst colors to work with.
I was more thinking like gold paint and a paper bag.
All of the above.
Oh. You're thinking of Huck.
Yeah, in my hometown, man, you always see the people walking around with the bag, the paper bag and paint. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you take like gold, like the metallic paints are the best, and you spray it inside the bag, and then you huff it.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, remember, this is Oklahoma City. People need an escape.
Superhero Time! 来週もよろしくね!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't
don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.